You know, I don't think we say it enough, but we've got some pretty awesome kids in this church. Because I've been in churches before where, you know, kids are half backslid, and we've got kids in here that they want to run with God. You know, the interesting thing was last night, you know, we didn't have some big training thing or anything else. It was just, we're just going to come pray and then just go talk to people, right?
Yeah.
I remember just years ago, we were ministering down in New Orleans, and there was a guy, we prayed for him, he instantly got sober because he was completely gone. He started grabbing tracks off the ground and started witnessing people, he got born again right there. It's like, you don't need you need to study the word, we need to know, we need to be grounded in our faith, but when we're sharing with people, it's very simple. It's the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. We don't complicate things, but I just want to really give a shout out, because you don't really understand last night, these teenagers and these kids were just maniacs. I mean, they were just all over the place, and it's like, you don't see that in churches. I'm just telling you right now, you don't see that in other churches. You don't. And we've got kids that, I mean, they've got things in their heart they want to accomplish for God, and, you know, things that God is speaking to their hearts to do, and it's not just a, oh, I can't wait because I'm coming here because my mom and dad's coming here or anything. We got teens in here. Their heart is for God, and they want to do something for Him. Amen?
Amen.
And you just really don't get that anywhere. And again, sometimes, I don't have anything against programs, but sometimes churches are so focused on programs rather than focusing on what's important, and that's really for God. And in our household, you know, with our girls, it's all about, you've got to make decisions for yourself. We were just, one of the girls was just sharing, talking with somebody about, oh yeah, well, I'm kind of a Christian. And who was that, Kate? One of them was talking. Yeah, for the most part, she had some family members that were pastors and everything. And no, it's we're committed to the King, and we want to see some fruit in our lives. And, you know, they're going to have to answer for God. They're going to have to do these things for themselves. And we spoon feed people all the time, and we're never pushed out. We just, you know, we're never growing, we never develop. And I am so proud of our teens.
Amen.
I've never been in a church, I'll just tell you right now, I've never been in a church where the youth have actually taken that much initiative. When I was a kid, it was, you know, we had youth groups and things, and that was fun, and we did some things, but I've never seen youth without some big program, without some big rah-rah session, go out like maniacs and start ministering to people. That is crazy. I'm just telling you right now, I've never seen that before. So we've got some amazing teenagers in here. And anyway, let's turn to, let's see, where should we start here tonight? We're going to continue to talk about working the word. And we're going to talk about faith tonight, what it is and what it isn't. But let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we talked about James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14, and we're going to work the word tonight. Interesting thing was, you know, I just kind of shared some of my experience. We were there at Walmart, and, you know, it's your, you're walking around, and one of the things we're and Roman shared, and some other kids they've shared, we didn't have a chance to share tonight, but one of the things is we need to be, it's very important that we're led by the Spirit, and we don't even know it.
Yes.
And last night when I'm walking around, my radar's up, who do I need to talk to, who do I need to talk to, and I talked with all kinds of people in Walmart, and I was talking to this worker there, she's an elderly lady. And I remember her, she helped me a long time ago, like getting paint. And I went up there, I said, you know, don't know me at all, but you helped me with paint. And I said, you're so helpful. And I just told her, you know what, God loves you. And I just started ministering. Now listen to this. This is interesting. While I was ministering to her, these two ladies were watching me. They walked around the corner and they said, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. That is so nice. And I thought, well, you could have said that too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, well, that's so good. But the whole time I'm ministering to people, people are watching.
Yeah.
They're watching, right? And so, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, we're, Gary, talking about blessing people with the finances, and I was giving money to people and everything else too. This little girl was there, you know, digging through the $5 DVD bin, you know, and her dad was there, and her dad looked like he got off work, maybe he was a mechanic or something. And I said, is that your daughter? And he looked at me kind of like this. I said, he goes, yeah. And I pulled out some money. I said, she want a DVD? He goes, well, I can't take that. I said, no, I'm giving it to you. And then out of nowhere, she's probably three, maybe four. And he says, we can ask her. And I said, do you want this? Yeah, I'll take it. I want a DVD. And she was all excited, right? And I said, you know what? God loves you tonight. And I just went around exhorting people, gave some people some money here and there. And then I saw her later and I said, what'd you get? And she had to show me the strawberry shortcake DVD that she got, right? Wait, I didn't preach a message to them, right? You know, some of the workers, people were coming and going. You know, I would just say, you know what? And this lady came up, and how many times I talked to people that were working there or anything else, I would say, you know what? You're valuable. I mean, you know that some of those people work in Walmart, they're kind of, they're waiting. You could tell what I was, this lady was folding clothes, and I said, you know what? You are absolutely valuable. I appreciate what you're doing, and you're helping people, and you're making a difference in people's lives by helping them working here. And she just looked at me like I was from Mars. And she says, I've never heard anybody say anything like that in my entire life. And she was older. Yeah. See, it's just the love of God we share with people. We don't have to complicate things. This isn't complicated. We just love people, right? And then this one other lady, I was ministering to her, and she started crying, and she couldn't stay there, right? Yeah. Because they don't get the love of God. They don't hear it. Everything is negative. Everything's awful. Everything's terrible. And then I walked up to this manager, and somebody said, hey, boss, and everything. I said, are you a manager? And she said, yeah. Waiting for this? I said, you know what? I've walked around the store this whole, like, last hour and a half. And I said, you have got some amazing people working here. And she just looked at me like I was on drugs or something, you know? She goes, we do have, bless you. I said, we do have great people. So again, you know, I wasn't preaching, but I let them know, you know what? God loves you. Jesus loves you. And, you know, because some of the people were in a hurry, but we want to make an impact, people. We want to let them know that we love them. And so let's turn to James tonight. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. And we talked about faith. Faith is not just understanding concepts. Do you understand that? Faith is about doing things. Now we need to back up here. Faith, we talked about faith without corresponding actions is dead. You know, Romans, there in Romans 10th chapter, it says faith, 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in context of spreading the word of God. It's in context of going out and delivering the good news to people. Now, of course, we build our faith by reading the word. And of course, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It builds our faith. But faith is not release. It needs a release. It's like filling up your car with gas. That gas is just stored energy. There is no release. It doesn't do any good until what? You turn the ignition on and you put that thing in the drive or first gear. That's when that power is used. Your gas does not do any good if it's sitting in your gas tank. James chapter 2, verse 14, it says, what use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone has faith but he has no works? Right? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing or is in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warm and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? In the same way, faith also, if it has no works, it is dead, being by itself. Can I stop right here? Because this is all about working the word. I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to make a statement. Because if you think that your faith is only going to be by reading the word of God and doing nothing, you are deceived. Yeah. If you think you're going to come to church here and you're going to have faith and that's all you need, you are also deceived. I'm going to prove it here in just a minute. But someone may say, well, we'll say, you have faith and I have works, but show me your faith without the works, and I will show, the Apostle James, and I will show you my faith, what? By my works. I'm going to stop here for a moment here, really quick. The only way that Jesus said in the Mark 16 that you are going to engage your faith by the works you do, right? He said, I will confirm the word with what signs and wonders following. That means when you do the word, that's when I show up. Mm-hmm. Here's a very interesting point right here. You believe that God is one. You do well. Here we go. The demons also believe and shudder. I want to stop here for a moment. The devils believe, but they don't do anything about it. The devils believe, but they don't do the word. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the devils have faith, but they don't do anything about it, right? The devils do not obey the word. How many Christians out there believe with their head, but they don't do anything about it? Guess what? They're in the same rankings of demons, the scripture is. And this is really tough. I know it's hard to hear. But you can have, I mean, they believe God's real, that God has power, and everything else too. They believe all of those things, but they do nothing about it. You don't like that, huh? Verse 20. This is really good stuff tonight. Verse 20. But are you willing to acknowledge, you foolish person, that faith without works is useless? Was our father Abraham not justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Guess what? He did something. Abraham was not a Bible scholar. Abraham did not have all the Brother Hagin's and the Kenneth Copeland books and all the other stuff that we all have, right? These people in the Old Testament, probably many of them didn't even know how to read, guys. I'm just telling you right now. They picked up, they knew what the word was, that King David did not have the Bible in front of him. In fact, the Bible we know wasn't even in existence back then. Jesus didn't even come yet. But what did he do? He didn't have all this, you know, biblical knowledge and understanding. That was nothing of the day. But what he did is look at that Philistine and says, you know what? You defy my God, and I'm going to take you down because that's not right. He did something about it. Verse 22. You see that faith was without his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. Right? His faith was perfected by what? By what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited him unto righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. What does righteousness mean? It means that you are correctly positioned with God. It doesn't mean you earn anything. See, this is what we're talking about. Works in the kingdom, it doesn't mean that you earn your salvation. But what it does mean is in this, when we talk about Christianity, Christianity is about Jesus paying the price. He did it for you. We see Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that it's not by works, but by grace that God saved you. But we walk out our salvation with works. Mm-hmm. See, religion wants to say, I have to do these things, and then I get this. Yeah. True relationship with God says, I'm walking out my faith because of what Christ did on the cross. Amen. And there's nothing I can do to make myself any better or be any more saved or save myself. But what it does mean is, okay, now I'm bought with a price, like the Apostle Paul says. Mm-hmm. We are now enslaved to Christ. We are now sealed. We're now circumcision because of that covenant in our heart. And now because of that, he bought us. And because of the salvation he gave us, now we're going to walk it out, our salvation. I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is the beginning. Too many times in too many churches, I've been in. It's just, you know, you get born again, and it is exciting when we're born again. When we get saved, it's exciting, but that's the beginning. And too many churches, that's the finish line. We've got it backwards, right? That's the beginning when you get saved. When you get saved, then you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And you should be water baptized if you're not. If you're not in any of those things, we need to get you that. Jesus commands it in Acts. Also Colossians, he commands us to be water baptized. He was water baptized by John, his cousin. Now, it doesn't mean because you're water baptized, you're saved. It doesn't mean, it just means that you are expressing yourself and you're identifying with Christ. The whole symbolism between being baptized in water, we see there in the book of John and the book of Mark. It reflects Jesus' experience with John the Baptist when he came out of the Jordan. Also, Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the people at Colossians while he was in prison. So it's one of what we call the prison epistles. When Paul was in prison, he wrote Ephesians and he wrote Colossians, which we call the sister epistles. Read both of those. They have similar information and similar revelation, and he's writing at the same time to those two cities. And in Colossians, he talks about how we identify with Christ is when we go down, we identify with his burial, and when we come up, we identify with risen and being victorious with him. I'm not boring you guys tonight, am I? Are you with me? I know it's a lot to chew on here tonight. But see, Paul, this Apostle Paul talks about your works are not because it's not getting you saved, but what it does mean, it just means that you are exercising your faith by works. You're exercising, you're demonstrating what you believe. What's in you is coming out. Verse 26, we'll skip down there. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, here we go, so also faith without works is what? Dead. Faith and works cannot be separated. I'm telling you right now, you cannot separate faith and works. It is impossible. I'm just going to say this one also too. We've had people too, they come up, well, just pray that I get a faith. I can't pray that you get faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and faith is exercised by action. It is exercised by action. You cannot get faith by only reading the Bible. It helps. It feeds your spirit, man. There is those things, and we can. Jude 20 says, "But beloved, praying the Holy Ghost, building yourself in most holy faith." What it means is, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, you build your spirit up like a battery. That Greek word is recharge, like a battery. So there are those things that do, but we cannot fulfill, walk in faith fully until we're actually doing works. We're actually doing things. We watch YouTubes, right? YouTube videos, you know, everything on there too. Everything, you know, oh, watch a YouTube video. I know how to do this now. I had to do this now, right? Just because you watch a YouTube video does not mean that you're an electrician or a carpenter or a plumber, right? Oh, I'm going to get down here and do this stuff. The worst thing I have is plumbing. I'll tell you right now, I can't stand to do plumbing because, you know what? There's a leak or something. Our old house, we had a kitchen or our bathroom sink. It was just like a nightmare. And finally, we moved and we get a discount, but I can't stand doing plumbing, right? I feel like one of the Three Stooges. There's like a thing where they're like plumbing and they're doing, I was like, I'm that guy, right? It doesn't matter how many YouTube videos. I mean, yeah, I'm okay with some things, but there gets beyond like major plumbing. It's just like, no. How many people think that they watch a YouTube video and they are all a professional, right? They watch a YouTube video and all of a sudden I am just now a self-ordained licensed electrician. No, you're not. Because you watch a YouTube video, you don't have it all together. And then they watch it on there. Because how many guys walked on cars or anything, you know? You watch a little YouTube video and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you just pop this off. And oh, you just pop this off. And I've done things before, worked on cars, and I have the whole front of the engine off. And it's like, okay, now the crankcase is seized on there. Now, Mr. YouTube, what are you going to do, right? Yeah. Well, you got to get a breaker bar, and then you got to start your car and pop it, and hopefully nothing busts on it, you know? Those are my YouTube videos. I'm like, okay, I'm in this. I got the whole thing tore apart. Now everything's seized up. Yeah. But just because you have a YouTube video, it doesn't mean you're a master. And just because you read the Word of God, it doesn't mean you know what you're doing either. I went to Bible school, and there's lots of people in Bible school that go around, talk the big talk, and do everything else too. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Really? Well, you have to go out and talk to people. So again, many people think that as they watch something on YouTube or they do these things that they're an expert, right? I watch those people on YouTube sometimes and it's like, you know, they just throw things together. Or those cooking shows. You ever notice those cooking shows sometimes? I'm sitting there going, oh man, I would totally wreck that. You know, they got the turkey out there. Oh, just a little bit, a little pinch of this. Well, my pinch and your pinch are way different. You know what I'm saying? It's like their pinch is this, my pinch is like that, you know? So our whole perspective is completely different. You know, and I got grandmas too in the past that they just throw stuff together and make stuff by scratch, and it's like, wait a minute here. I need ingredients, I need instructions, I need help. You ever watch the old timers, they just cook, they're just, throw some flour in here and a handful of this and this and that and blah, 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 and they're just winging stuff left and right, and I'm lost. Okay, just let me know when it's over and I'll eat it, okay? And then you can make more and I'll eat more of that. Acts 4:13. Now I'm gonna move through this because I want to get to some other things here really quick. But now when they saw, Acts 4:13, now when they saw Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had what? Been with Jesus. Now there's a difference between just understanding a bunch of stuff and being with Jesus. Amen. What's the difference? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they knew stuff, right? They were educated, but they were not, had not been with Jesus. What it means is this, they were hiding and they were eggheads and they were intellects. I'm not saying that because you go have an education, because I've got schooling, but it doesn't mean that you know and have all the answers. What it means is you've never experienced these things, right? I remember having professors and they teach all this stuff and I'm thinking, that's not real world. Like, I've dealt with finance and working with people every day and it's like, that's not realistic. But it sounds good on paper. That's the Pharisees and Sadducees. The disciples were works people. They had faith and they put their feet to what they believed in. They did it. The proof was in the pudding. That's a big difference. You want to see people that sit around and do nothing and just read stuff all the time? I mean, I love to read too. Sadducees and Pharisees are people who have a mental ascent, but the disciples and the apostles were the ones that had been with Jesus, right? Faith actively approaches and obeys God. Now again, there, like I mentioned earlier last week, you do want to get direction from God, but you can also deceive yourself in that. Well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. You know what? Sometimes you know what to do, you just don't do it. I remember Brother Hagin would say things and he'd be out praying for people and he goes, and he would tell them, he said, hey, I'm going to tell you what to do here. Can you do this? And what their response was half the time was, is it hard? Is, I hope it's easy. You know how many times I have been places, like, for example, how many people have, you know, they love showing up for the Holy Ghost meetings, they love showing up for these special events, and they're never around for any growth or teaching, you know? What is it? It means I want to get what I want, and I don't want to put any effort into it. That's what a lot of the church, a lot of the people are. You know, well, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Okay, what are you doing about it? Right? Are you growing and developing? Are we, you know, Jesus told after he had the healed the lame man at the gate, he came back and says, sin no more, what? Lest a worse thing come upon you, right? Walking in faith means I'm making tweaks, I'm growing, I'm developing, I'm not staying the same that I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 6 months, whatever, a week, 2 weeks ago. It's about coming up to another level, right? And I'm going to tell you what, and really the emphasis behind these messages are working the word. What it means often is this. We are reading and saying the right thing because we've been told that by ministers and preachers. But we're not willing to evaluate ourselves to walk in faith so that we can have greater breakthrough. This is really good stuff. And we see people, babies come to get what they want and leave. How many of you ever know Christmas morning, all their kids love you? You ever notice that? Like, oh, daddy, I love you. Oh, mommy, I love you. And there's everybody loves each other. Because we're getting what we want, right? On Sunday morning, or on Christmas morning, right? Everything's wonderful. Mommy, you're the greatest. Daddy, you're the greatest. Birthday morning comes. Daddy, I love you. Mommy, I love you. Because what? You're getting something. What is that? Your mood and your actions are only, they're, how can I say, they're manipulated by your feelings and what you're getting. That's babyhood, right? Yeah. Also works, to get into works mentalities, I'll show up for church because I need healing, right? I'm going to go to this meeting because I need healing. I need a word from God. I'm going. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to church because you have needs. But when you get what you want, then what? And also, too, if you think that I'm going to show up because I'm going to get this. Now, again, you know, how many people? Adrian and I worked in this call center when we first got to Tulsa. And we would take these prayer requests and people just calling all the time. It's like, I need prayer for this and I need prayer for this and I need prayer for this. It was awful. And it was, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm thinking to myself, where's your pastor? Do you go to church? Do you go anywhere? It's just, I'm going to call and I need this fix right now. I need something to happen right now. And there's nothing wrong with calling. And don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with calling prayer lines if you do. And if you need people, hey, I need prayer. That's great. But are we walking things out, or are we still at a baby stage where, you know, we got to have everybody pray for us? You know, I don't spend a lot of time praying for myself. I spend time praying in tongues, and really I spend more time praying for other people. You know? I mean, yeah, there's things in the church that we need to, you know, for example, this isn't just my thing, but it's like we need to believe that we're going to have a better facility at some point. We need a bigger facility. We need room for kids' church. We need, you know, nursery. We need, you know, ushers. We need, you know, bigger, better stuff. We need to grow. Why? Because this message is powerful. It's not my message. It's the Word. It's the Holy Ghost. But that is part of it. Walking by faith is practicing what we believe. And again, you know, we've had times too at the other facility where we have like the whole church is packed out. We have other extra chairs. And again, we have maybe a guest speaker come in and everything else too. And then many of those people then go to church on a regular basis. They're just there for the special meeting. And then they're gone, right? Well, and I've gone to other churches for special meetings because I have, you know, pastor friends or people that or the minister I know or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when that's your life and you're not committed, you're not walking anything out, there's different aspects. There's the multitude. Those are the people that just showed up for everything and followed Jesus around. They just wanted the free food and the blessings, right? Then there's the disciples, the 70. Then we see that there's the 12 that are really close to Jesus. Then we see the 3. Then we see John. So there's greater commitment the closer we get to God, right? Those people that I mean, all they were doing was they're just interested in the goods. They're just interested in the free meal, the fish and the bread. They're just interested in the healing, and then they're gone. And that's all they get from God is just one-shot deal, and they're gone. But there's so much more. So much more. Wow, I got so much more here. I really want to go, and I'm going to even more depth. But you know what? Let me read the rest of this this portion here. And it says, verse 4, "You adulterers, you don't realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world and make yourself an enemy of God, do you think the scriptures have no meaning?" Right? What that means is you read it, you don't care, you don't follow it. "They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit has placed within us should be faithful to Him. And He gives grace generously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." I'm going to stop here tonight. We're talking about often things that you're, why your faith doesn't work. First of all, if there's obviously two people that don't have, me and God, both of us, I don't have really much to do with people who are in pride. You want to get under, you want to get me grinding really quick, go treat people like garbage. You're going to get under my skin real fast, right? If you have passive aggressive, treat people like garbage, you're going to get on, I'm going to get in the flesh real quick, right? Because people don't deserve to be treated like trash. You don't deserve to be treated like trash. You don't. And if you think that you're going to be proud, because God doesn't have anything to do with proud people. He doesn't. And I get like very distant with people with pride issues, right? Now, there's one thing, have confidence in speaking your mind and being bold. But when you treat people like garbage, guys, I'm telling you what, it's going to wreck your faith. Yeah. So one of the things, many things we just talked about in the last couple of weeks and tonight, and we'll continue next week. One of the things, if you think that your faith, you're believing for something, and there's pride in your life, and you feel like nothing's happening, I think we need to examine ourselves on this pride issue. Because you can't treat people like dirt. Because the Bible talks about you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean you may not have a bad day. You know, may get, you know, kind of lose it with your kids, or you know, something happens and you repent. But if we're going to treat people like garbage, it's going to hinder you. It's not going to go well for you. So just because you memorize 5,000 scriptures and you can, you know, quote Mark 11, 22 through 20, 26, and you've got it all down, and you know the 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and you know all the faith scriptures, and everything's great, and you can spout those off. When we walk in the Word, it means we take the Word as a whole counsel, right? When you see people on TV, you just need better faith. You need, wait a minute, hold, there's a laundry list of things. I've said it last week, and I've said it before. The Methodist Church that started, you know, those early days, those people would get together once a week and confess their sin to one another. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty real quick with God, right? I mean, it really comes down to, if we were only want to get down to, with God and get, we got to start repenting on some things. And we'll get more into that next week. But this is very unpopular. And look where that denomination is right now. It's split. It's horrible. It is absolutely divided. And it started out with repentance. And part of the problem is we're not receiving things is because of this. We're not repenting. You can quote scriptures all day long, but if there are things in your life that God needs corrected, you are blocking it. Mr. Gary's talking about diarrhea earlier, right? We are spiritually constipated if we don't take care of these things, right? So we need a Holy Ghost laxative to bust some things loose in our life, right? How'd you like that right before supper tonight? Yay!
Way to keep it classy, Pastor.
Boom, the floodgates open up for you, right? Sometimes we need some breakthrough, don't we? How many could use a breakthrough tonight? I know I could, Ms. Marius, right? Yeah. I mean, it's interesting we're doing some of the stuff we're doing and these messages and things like that, and it just seems like everything has been, I don't know. I'm not confessing this, but it's like everything's been breaking down. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of things break down in our house and just weird stuff going on. And you know what? We're going to break through. You know what? We're not going to break down. We're going to break through. Okay? That's an important difference there, right? Oh. Well, tonight, Pastor talked about, you know, constipation and getting a Holy Ghost laxative. Weirdo. But anyway. But the point is this. I'm just going to tell you, this is liberating stuff because I would just say this. Many times, Adrian and I, when we were... Now, she probably had it all together. Okay, I'm the one that probably was missing the mark, right? She's, you know... But my point is this. You miss things, and I look back, and I wish I would have had that, because I thought all I've got to do is quote Mark 11, 22, because I hear Brother Hagin talking about it all the time. And that's a part of it. It's kind of like getting in a car and say, I'm going to have a really fast engine and with no transmission. Okay, you're not going anywhere, right? You're getting somewhere in a hurry, standing still. Not having quality tires on your car, not having good brakes. You know, we were just talking about this earlier. You know, when I was a kid, when I was younger, the whole thing was, you know, I got to get my engine. You know, I had an old Trans Am, you know, I built it up. I was like, oh, the engine's awesome. I look back now, I'm like, my rear end, gears in the back were terrible. See, because I had this awesome engine, big block, it was a lot of power. And I'm thinking now, I look back, I'm thinking, I would have really had some really good gears, you know? And then back then, nobody thought about brakes, you know? I was like, well, I'll stop. I had a friend of mine that had a, you know, Trans Am too, and he went through and his brakes didn't catch him good enough, and he ended up in a cornfield, right? But it was fast. The whole suspension got ripped out, but it was fast, right? So what that mean is we need the complete package, right? If we have a car, we need a good engine, we need good transmission, we need great brakes, we need good tires. And in your spiritual realm, like, well, we need to, you know, check up on our love walk. We need to make sure we're not in bitterness and sin. There's so many things to look at so we can get our faith to be activated in and walk with God the way that we want to, so that when we come before Him, we can receive the blessings. This is why, I'm getting more into it, I'm stopping right here. This is why we're seeing people frustrated and backslide, is because they read a scripture, they hear something on TV, all you need to do this, just push this easy button. I'm telling you, around this life, if you haven't figured it out already, there is no easy button. There is no easy button with God. In fact, sometimes you're going to have more problems walking with God than you did before. Why? Because when you go downstream and you're not paddling against the stream, it's easy, right? I can go out and I can drink and I can do these things and I can have fun and everything else and everybody's raw and everything feels good. But my life is, the devil wants to mask things. But guess what? When you're going, we just read there, you can't love the world and God at the same time. When we're just kind of floating along with the current, it feels easy, but everything's piling up on us when we don't realize it. That's the whole thing with the devil. He makes things look really good. You're having fun. You're having a great time. You know, all these people in the world look at it. You ever see beer commercials on TV and everything? They don't have people on those commercials look like the people I used to drink with. Okay, I'm just telling you right now, right? You know, and some of the guys I was in bands with, I mean, it's like, I mean, we're talking about, you know, they got these fit, trim people, and it's like, wait a minute, you drink like that, you ain't going to look like that. You know what I'm saying? There is a deception out there, okay? Right? Oh, but it's light beer. Oh, no. I'm sorry. You know? We were, I don't remember where we were at. Oh, we were eating last night at Perkins, and, you know, because we were out late. And I told, we know the waitress in there, and I said, hey, this is all fat-free. She goes, it's all fat-free. I'm like, okay, great. Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. You set us free. It's your freedom, Lord. You get the glory tonight. You get the praise. You get the honor, Lord. Everything you've done for us, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's because of your grace, not by our works. But Lord, we walk out our works, and we prove our faith because we are walking out our righteousness and our sanctification, and we're walking out those things that you instilled in us, Lord, tonight. And I pray tonight that we are not going to have frustration in the Word anymore. Amen. That we're going to reveal, Lord, you're going to reveal yourself to us on a greater level. Tonight, again, before we close here, if you're not born again, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, always want to give you an opportunity to do that. You need to have those things. If you want to go deeper with God, like Brother Hagin said, like being born again without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. You're kind of getting, you know, it's good, but it's just not quite right. So make sure you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're born again. Amen? Because we want, something happens to you, we want to see you forever on the other side. Yes. Amen? Because I consider everybody here family. We want to be with you in heaven forever. We love and really care about everybody. And, you know, I know everybody else does too. So, amen. Have a great week. Thanks again for everybody who went out last night. You touched people, and I hope you got changed. Amen. Yes.